This is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello. The humble little mouse has become big business at Jackson Laboratory in Bar Harbor, Maine. The research center uses selective breeding to create mice that have the genetic traits to make them useful for scientists searching for cures to human diseases. David Brooks recently visited Jackson Labs and learned a lot about the business of mice. He's a columnist for the Nashua Telegraph and writer at GraniteGeek.org. David, Jackson Labs sells mice. What kind of mice are they selling?
They are wildly inbred mice is really what they are. So this is a business that's been there for about 85 years, was kind of established by a philanthropist on his vacation retreat. This is, by the way, we're talking about Bar Harbor right next to Acadia, beautiful Mount Desert Island. So it was established there originally as a research facility. The guy was going to do his own mice, and then he realized, everybody needs these mice. People were starting asking him for them, so they turned it into a business / philanthropy, and it has become quite a business. About they have an operating budget of $250 million a year, roughly, of which about half is covered by mouse sales to labs, to hospitals, to researchers all around the country and many international ones.
So how many mice are we talking about here?
The number I heard was about 3 million a year they ship out, and they cost a couple bucks a piece, or they can cost up to a couple hundred dollars a piece, several hundred dollars a piece, actually, depending on what attributes you want. So what happens is researchers literally look through a catalog. It's online. You can search it. You can search it by gene. You can search it by characteristic. And you're saying, well, I want to study this particular factor. I want to study something, a disease that happens on the skin. So it'd be helpful to have a hairless mouse, because then I can see more easily what has happened to the skin as I work on the mice. So then you order hairless mice. If you order what is known as the Black Six, which is their basic model, it's the Model T of laboratory mice. They developed it there. They bred it there because it has many good attributes. It's easy to work with. It reproduces well. It likes life in the lab. And I think it's safe to say it's the single most commonly used laboratory animal in the world. Those are only a few bucks a piece, but many of the specialty ones are quite expensive. They also have, 7,000 different strains. Most of them are actually kept as embryos or sperm and eggs in liquid nitrogen. So there's another large room that's full of 8 or 10 big tanks. I mean, large, much larger than your refrigerator there, with liquid nitrogen, things frozen down relatively close to absolute zero. And in there is the are the actual embryos of mice. So they can pull out an embryo. If you order a particular strain of mice that isn't alive at the moment, they can pull out the embryo, they implant it, I think, into a Black Six probably, and 12 weeks later, you've got your mice born.
Mice made to order.
Mice made to order. And it's a production facility with interesting twist. So, for example, as you walk in, there's a sign next to one counter that says, this is where people eat lunch. Please don't leave sperm here.
A sign you see every day.
But I mean, it is a production facility. They can generate large amounts of mice on demand relatively quickly, and they do. And researchers all over the world, as I say, depend on them.
And in your column, you write about how Jackson Laboratory is acting a lot like traditional companies in the sense that it's started a successful manufacturing business, in this case, mice, and now it's moving into other services. So tell us about the other services that Jackson Labs is now providing.
The services are the research themselves. This is the work that is being done with the mice. And as I say, they have about 50 researchers based right here. And these are folks, high-level folks. Being chosen and being allowed to have a lab at Jackson Lab is really quite impressive. And they come here, they get a few bucks to get started, and after that, basically, they have to get their own grants and funding to keep going, which is not uncommon at graduate research centers. And last year, Jackson Lab opened a large facility at University of Connecticut in Farmington next to the medical school there, which eventually will have as many as 300 researchers based there. Again, doing medical research, usually all or maybe always using Jackson Lab mice as a mouse model so they can test various things, see what happens, see if they can find genetic component to what happens to the mice, and whether they can find the similar genes in humans and therefore use it for developing treatments for us, that sort of thing. So the service is, research that will eventually, hopefully, provide cures for you and I, and using mice as models and using their own mice as often as not. So as I say, moving up from manufacturing to services.
Kind of makes you look at your own pet mouse a little differently, doesn't it?
Well, you know, all of these mice, well, not all of them, that's new. Most of them, and for many years, were actually descended from nothing but pet mice. The initial mice that were started were so-called fancy mice. They were pets that were owned by all these rich people that had summer homes on Mount Desert Island. And that's what they started with, all their inbred. Each breed is at least 10 generations of inbreeding, brothers and sisters mating to get the genes down to very specific form. And so all of them came from these initial pet mice. In recent years, they've actually been bringing in wild mice to mix up the genes a bit. The trouble is wild mice are harder to work with. They tend to escape and they tend to bite you. I was told many times that people much prefer working with the black sixes of the world, but science is hard.
Well, David, thank you very much.
You bet.
That's David Brooks, a columnist for the Nashua Telegraph and the head scientist at the lab we know as GraniteGeek.org.